welcome to the Mile High Podcast. So happy that you've joined us. If you're liking the content that we have, you're going to love our guest speaker who's coming to Mile High Church on April 26th. Coot Blackson is coming to speak about his great book, The Magic of Surrender. You can purchase tickets and be with us live by going to our website. And you can also join us via live stream. We hope you'll be with us. Thanks.
So welcome. Just so glad you're here today. And thank Reverend Josh and Michelle for inviting me back to be part of Earth Day here. I've been working with I've been working with the Sacred Earth Ministry since I retired last summer. Dr. Patty and I have been working with that, and today's just a great thing. We got some great stuff coming up in the community center after service today. I'll be telling you more about that, but it's just great to celebrate Earth Day together today and to bring our focus and our attention to this beautiful planet where we live. And there are a lot of reasons to celebrate Earth Day. I have a couple specifically that I bringing in here. These guys here, my granddaughters, who are Ruby and Ivy, and they're snowboarders already, which makes their parents very, very happy, and they're already rocking it. And so they're looking for there to still be snow in the mountains as they grow up. So that means we got work to do to make that happen. So I just have to bring my updates from the grandkids to get that going. Yeah. So my talk title today is Moving Forward Together. And that's the thing for Earth Day, because even though we know that there are a lot of differences, a lot of things that we don't agree on, there's one thing that we all have in common, and that's this planet and sharing the resources on this planet. So that's where we bring our attention and our focus today, is moving forward together. I love thinking back to the beginning of Earth Day. I remember it. I was in college in Earth Day. The Earth had just cooled then. But there was a lot going on at that time. There was a lot of people protesting. There was a lot of sit-ins and teach-ins at college campuses. And there was a rising social awareness. There was a lot of awareness about the war in Vietnam, about the draft, about social change. There was just a lot of upheaval. And it was a very active time, and the consciousness was really being stirred up. And there was a senator from Wisconsin named Gaylord Nelson, who was a junior senator from Wisconsin, who was very concerned about the environment and was one of the first true environmentalists who wanted to get something going. And he thought maybe he could harness some of that youthful energy that was happening on the college campuses and get something going. So he started preparing for Earth Day. He got some of the college people who were good at organizing to help him out, and they started planning to do an Earth Day in 1970. And some things were up. A lot was up in the street with people protesting, and also, and the environmental thing, he had been flying in a helicopter to survey a giant oil slick that had happened recently from an oil spill. And also, just the year before, just outside of Cleveland, the Cuyahoga River had caught on fire once again, and the fire raised 5 stories high before they got it put out. And it's really never good when a river catches on fire. It just is a sign that something is really wrong. So he felt that this was the time to kind of gather people together. So the first Earth Day was on April 22nd, 1970. There's 20 million people that get out in the street. Think of that. 20 million people get out in the street. And it was planned in between spring break and finals in college, so people would have the room to get to it. And it was also during the middle of the week, so a lot of kids in high school could get out and be participating in Earth Day as well. So it was the beginning of that movement. Beginning of the environmental movement in a way that a lot of people were conscious of. And it made a difference, because by the end of that year, the Environmental Protection Agency had been created under the Nixon administration. And also the Clean Water Act came in 1972, and the Endangered Species Act came not long after that. And our attention and our focus went towards protecting the Earth And our consciousness went in that direction too. Some of you remember those great ads that were on television about recycling and taking care of trash. And we just began to shift in that direction. And it seems like a long time ago. But now it's our turn. Because Earth Day isn't really about the past at all. It's about the future. So we're moving into that time today of looking at Earth Day and looking at our relationship with the Earth. Earth Day 2024 is devoted to specifically planet versus plastic. So we're trying to bring our attention. There are so many things to focus on. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of stuff going on. So there's plenty of things to focus on, but we're in Earth Day this year focusing on plastic. And so we're just all going to commit this morning that we're done with plastic bottles with water in them. Are we all done with that? Are we all done that? Are you with me? Okay, so we're done with that. So it's not going to be long. Just in the next couple of weeks, all these convenience stores are going to be calling up their suppliers going, you got to get these bottles out of here. Nobody wants them. And we're going to make them into houses or streets or something else. But we're going to get rid of putting plastic bottles full of little bits of water in our refrigerators and in our life. So we're going to let that go. We're going to move on to something else. So commitment, collaboration are big things that we're going to be talking about today. But I want to begin with another word, another C word, consciousness. I think we need to change our consciousness. We need to begin there. There are so many things that we see on television, in the media, on social media that divide us. We are very much fixed on division and criticism and blaming other people for things. So the division game that's going on now is the biggest thing that we've got going. Whenever somebody comes out with an idea, there are plenty of people to put it down. But we've got to work towards collaboration. And our consciousness has to shift towards the idea of collaboration. Consciousness is the business we're involved in here at Mile High Church and in the New Thought Movement. And I was thinking as I was preparing this talk about Emmett Fox, who was a metaphysician in the 1930s. He wrote a small book called The Mental Equivalent. Most of you have it or you've seen it. It was one of those homework assignments you had. Some of you did. But he talked about how if we want to change our life, how do we approach that from a mental perspective? He said this, form a mental equivalent of the thing which you want by thinking about it a great deal, by thinking clearly and with interest. Remember, clarity and interest, those are the two poles. Well, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Clarity and interest, there's nothing to that. But it's really a big deal. Because we are in such a time of environmental crisis and we see so many things are bad and that are going wrong, we can lose hope. We're clear about the problems, but we're not clear about where we're trying to get to. So we've got to start creating a mental equivalent of what the Earth's going to look like when it returns to balance and start moving in that direction and accept that that's what's happening now and that we're a part of it. That's what we're about here this morning. Are you with us?
Yes.
We want to start building that idea in our minds that we can do this, that we can have hope. This morning over in the community center, we've got a lot of people from different environmental groups who are set up over there. It's a great time to go over to learn and to get involved. The Sacred Earth Ministry that we've got going, we're wide open to get more people involved for other ideas of how we can contribute. That Mile High Church can really be a hub for environmental work. So I hope that you'll stop over there afterwards. And one of our co-sponsors today is a place called The Same Cafe. And that's a cafe on East Colfax. And the word same stands for so all may eat. And they have a place where you can come in and get a meal no matter how much you pay for it, that it's available there. So I hope that you'll stop over and support them as well. Because a lot of what today is about is a collaboration, about turning our consciousness towards collaboration. Collaboration with each other and with the planet. Because it's a reciprocal relationship that's going on between us and the planet. We've done a pretty good job of taking things from the planet, taking resources, using resources, and the planet has given them to us pretty freely. And now it's time for us to keep our part of the deal and be giving back. They have a higher sense of awareness of collaborating with the planet. And you know, there are more scientists on the planet now than there ever been. And there's an opportunity now for us to collaborate and bring all of our gifts of science to work for solutions. I've been working, spending with a book called Drawdown, the most comprehensive plan ever proposed to reverse global warming. It was edited by a guy named Paul Hawken, who is an environmentalist who's been at this game for a long time. What we did in this book was he collaborated with a lot of different scientists and came up with like 100 different ideas that could help with the process of drawdown. Because the truth is, with this problem of carbon in the atmosphere, we not only have to slow down and eventually stop putting carbon into the atmosphere, we've got to begin getting it out of the atmosphere. That's a process too. And he's got these solutions in this book, 100 of them, about farming and about solar energy, about wind power, about the things that we eat, transportation, housing. And there's a sense of hope in it. There's a sense of hope that we can figure this out if we can bring our focus to it. And focus less on our sense of division and about who's right and about this being a political problem. It's a people problem. We're the problem. And so looking for a political solution is keeping us in a sense of division. We need to create more of a sense of us working together. This is one of the things that this guy, Paul Hawkins, said. What individuals can do is become a movement. The United States was founded on the premise that there are truths that are self-evident. And one of the unmentioned truths is that we only have one home. If we are to remain here, we must together take great care. To do that means we must become a we, a movement that is unstoppable and fearless. Movements are dreams with feet and hands and hearts and voices. So are we ready to be a part of this movement? What do you think? Yeah, I think so. I think so. There's a website called drawdown.org that has just loaded with ideas. And it's a place to research and learn and to grow. One of the things that they said is that there are 5 basic facts about climate change. It's real. It's us. It's bad. Scientists agree. And there's hope. I think that's the most important part. We can stop arguing about whether it's happening, and we can turn our focus towards creating a world that works for everybody, because most of the people who are most at effect of global warming and climate change are poor people who can't really do anything about it. And so the industrial nations like ours have to commit ourselves to doing this work. It's our time for that. So that's my last point today, is about commitment. About bringing a sense of commitment to this work. And it's about more than science and engineering. It's about heart. It's about love. It's about that reciprocal relationship between us and the earth in this amazing, amazing place where we live. At about the same time when Earth Day was being created, we were starting to see pictures come back from the earth about the Earth from outer space. Earthrise, the pale blue dot, the Earth out in space. And it began to change our consciousness and for us to see that we are a pale blue dot floating in this incredible sea beyond our wildest dreams. We looked at the Earth with no borders, with no flags, with no boundaries. It gave us an opportunity to see that we were all part of something, all of us. A bigger dream was unfolding through us. And I think now we can start to connect once again at a deeper level with that relationship with the Earth. You know, another book that I've been diving into lately is a book called Braiding Sweetgrass, and I know a lot of you have read it. And it's a beautiful book written by a lady named Robin Wall Kimmerer. And she's a Native American woman and also a teacher of environmental studies in the university. And she does a great job of bringing science together with indigenous wisdom. And we can see that indigenous people had so many things going right with the way they interacted with the earth, by the way that they observed it, and the traditions that were handed down between people to give back to the earth. She has great things about plants and about the way that we can interact. Me being a gardener, I love that. I just love the reciprocal relationship between us and the earth. And another thing that really brought me into connection with this book is the indigenous tribe that she was a part of was located in upstate New York, near where I grew up. She talks about, She talks about Onondaga Lake, which was a lake outside of Syracuse. I grew up in a place called Oswego, which is about an hour from Syracuse. And we used to drive to Syracuse a lot, and we would go by this lake. And I remember my dad's a fisherman, and he would say, well, you can't fish in that lake anymore. You can't boat on it. You can't swim on it because the lake is dead. It's been dead for years. And she talks about that lake because her people lived around that lake. She said it's estimated that 165,000 pounds of mercury were discharged into the lake between 1946 and 1970. And you couldn't swim in the lake after 1940 because since the late 1800s, they've been dumping industrial waste into it. But the people who lived around there, her people, the indigenous people, didn't give up on the lake. They kept trying to reclaim it. They filed a federal injunction to write so that they could reclaim the lake and have ownership of it. That got dismissed, of course. But they stayed with it. Eventually, it got put in as a Superfund site. And a good deal of money got thrown at it from the federal government. And they've been working on it for a couple of decades now to clean up that lake. And I went online this week and looked up a local paper from upstate New York, and they said the lake is cleaner now than it's been in 100 years. Now, to me, that's a love story. That's a love story about loving something so much that we can restore it to the beauty that it came with. And I love that her people are still involved in it. And the thing is, they think of that as their home. And she calls that being naturalized to place. Being naturalized to place. And here's what she says about it. Being naturalized to place means to live as if this is the land that feeds you. As if these are the streams from which you drink. That build your body and fill your spirit. To become naturalized is to know that your ancestors lie in this ground. Here you will give your gifts and meet your responsibilities. To become naturalized is to live as if your children's future matters. To take care of the land as if our lives and the lives of our relatives depend on it. Because they do. So So here we are now, and we have our opportunity. You know, Carl Jung said that crisis brings clarity. It shows us where we stand, who we are. And we are in a crisis. Make no mistake about that. But there is hope, there is possibility, and we are a part of a movement that is going to turn this around and restore our relationship with the land. That's what we're about. Let's pray about that. So we open right now to the possibility that lives within us. We're not helpless here. We are connected with a power and a wisdom, a sacred intelligence that created all things, that brought all things into being, that awaits our recognition of it. And as we turn to it, it turns to us. So we allow that power and that wisdom and that sacred love to fill us right now. Fill us with hope. Fill us with an intention to rise up and solve our problems. I give thanks for each person right now within the sound of my voice, for the gift that you are and for the difference that you make. We commit ourselves right now to this beautiful sacred work in this amazing, amazing world where we live. Thank you, Spirit. We are blessed beyond measure. And so it is.
Thanks for listening to the Mile High Church podcast. This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners like you. To make a donation, please visit milehighchurch.org.